we have the privilege of having Gord Martin visit with us. Gord is the Executive Director of Vision Ministries. For those of you not familiar with Vision, Vision exists. Their mission statement is to build more and better churches. So they help new churches get started. They help from existing churches do church plants, fresh expressions of what church is, and they work with new Canadians with many cultures and languages. They also help existing churches like ours. We are part of the Vision Ministries Association. They connect with over 165 churches across Canada that are diverse. So not everybody in those 165 churches are like us. They also assist church leaders by doing coaching and training and also schedule learning events across Canada. And again, many of you from Byron have been to those learning events. Gord himself has a passion for evangelism, for equipping the church and for church planting. He's well experienced in missions in Ecuador and Colombia, evangelism, pastoring, and church planting, and is in the Kitchener-Waterloo area where Vision Ministries is situated. He was the founder of Vision Ministries. In 1992 is when Vision started, and I think Gord's going to share a little bit more about Vision's work and their vision, and I'm going to invite Gord to come now and share with us.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you today, and I do want to tell you a little bit about our work just at the beginning, and then I have a sermon where you are all going to be quite involved this morning, and so let me tell you a little bit about Vision Ministries first. It's true, exactly what Rick said to us, that we are involved in more and better churches. We believe that the answer to our situation in Canada is not necessarily political, but it's helping people from the grassroots learn to walk with God, learn to follow Him, and to see more churches started. We've been involved in about something over 80 new churches since we began back in 1992. And we are now working with about 180 churches across Canada. And we do quite a lot of collaborating with other denominations as well, working together with them. There is a sense of cooperation that exists today that is like never before. And so that sense of connecting and cooperating, collaborating is very strong. And so we've been involved just in 2014 with the formation of 14 new congregations all across Canada. And I could tell you more about them, but just to give you an idea that these new churches are beginning, a number of these are done in cooperation with other denominations, with the Mennonite Brethren, with Baptists, with the Missionary Church. And so we've had that kind of connectedness. Last Sunday, I was in Toronto with this Persian church. This is a group of people that are all from Iran. But they call themselves Persians, usually here. And so this was their 10th anniversary. They began 10 years ago with just 5 people. When I go there to speak, they usually have 60 or 70 adults. But last Sunday, they had about 200. And so they were serving Persian food, and when there's food, you know, somehow people come out of the woodwork. And so we had a great time with them. They are very enthusiastic in their worship and in their prayer. I preached by interpretation in the Farsi language last Sunday evening. And the one thing that I so enjoy about this group is the responsiveness to prayer. People want to be prayed for. And so always after the service, people are coming forward wanting to be prayed for. Last Sunday evening, I remember praying for one man who was about my age, perhaps. He had a son. He said, I have a son who's 30 years old, who is deeply depressed and troubled. And as I prayed with him, he just put his head right up against my head, and we prayed together for his son. And so he's not a Christian, but there are people who are Baha'i and Muslim background who come out for these special events. And it's quite extraordinary because There are more Iranians coming to faith in Christ today. In fact, Christianity Today carried a large article just a couple of years ago. They said that more people came to faith, more Iranians, came to faith in Christ in the first 10 years of this century than in all the previous centuries put together. Now, I kind of love this because this is one country where it's been against the law to convert. And so they take this very seriously. And to think that this is the country where it's against the law to convert, but here more people than ever before are finding faith in Jesus and are learning to follow him both in Iran as well as around the world. Something that is happening in our country is that people in trouble are responding to the gospel. That shouldn't be a big surprise to us, because when Jesus himself was here, it was people who were the common people, ordinary people, people who were distressed, who were responsive to him. And that's still happening. So that ministries like Celebrate Recovery and Finding Freedom, which is less known than Celebrate Recovery, but Finding Freedom was started by Tim Fletcher in Winnipeg, and he has been conducting this series of teachings that are a kind of combination between Bible teaching and teaching for instruction for those suffering from addictions. And so I was there a couple of years ago. They had something over 100 people that night, downtown Winnipeg, and who were listening and to him speak for about 45 minutes. They do this every Friday night, all year round. And now that's up to about 200 people that are meeting down there on Friday evenings. Plus, it's going into other churches, and the Salvation Army Hospital is using the same material now in their addiction program in Winnipeg. And so I'm just saying this, that the gospel or the good news is continuing to flourish, especially among those who know that they have needs and are in trouble of various kinds. The Toronto China Bible Church is a congregation that when I first met them about 12 years ago, they had maybe 40 adults. Today they have 6 locations in scattered all around Toronto, mostly sort of in the middle and east. And I don't know if you've had an opportunity to be in Markham. There's a large Chinese mall there, and every single store is Chinese in the whole place. And so when you go there, you say, wow, this is a completely different community, perhaps than the one that we're living in. But there are large numbers of Chinese people coming from mainland China, and many of them are responding to the gospel. So they now have these 6 locations. They've been having baptisms, in fact, at Don Valley Bible Chapel, where Pastor John Mackey used to be. They are baptizing at Thanksgiving about 50 people a day, and again at Easter, baptizing again about 50 people. They've been doing that for the last number of years. So when I'm with them and speaking there, and of course being interpreted into Chinese, into Mandarin, I'm very aware that these people are all new in the faith. This is all brand new to them. Many of them are university students, graduate students, and are coming here and finding faith in our country. How many of you are familiar with Move In? Just put up your hand, just so I have an idea. Not so many. Well, let me tell you. In 2009, 3 of us met with a young man who had an idea. We said, we will support you. We were kind of the 3 wise men meeting with him. There was a Mennonite brethren and an associated gospel guy and me. And we were going to support and sponsor him part-time. We said, we want you to find the neediest places in Toronto, in the whole GTA, and we'd like to see if we can find people who would be willing to do something useful there for the gospel. Well, he came back to us and he said he'd like to start a conference. None of us were all that sure that that was a good idea, but we all were wise enough to be quiet. And he said, we're going to do this conference. And when word gets out about this, he said, it'll go viral. And in 2009, I didn't know what viral meant. And but it didn't take long to find out. He said, we're going to have this at People's Church in Toronto, and don't be like 1,000 people will come. And again, we remained quiet because we were doubtful. And there were not 1,000 people, but about 600 people showed up on the Friday night. And the whole idea was to mobilize young, mostly younger people to leave where they were living and deliberately move into the poorest neighborhoods in Toronto. And so on Friday night, about 600 people showed up and they spoke and they went kind of on and on. And Nigel, the founder of this, said, "Now, don't come back tomorrow for the conference tomorrow unless you're serious about moving into one of these neighborhoods." So about 140 people showed up the next day. I was there for the whole day. And there was speaking in the morning. And then in the afternoon, they carpooled people out to 25 neighborhoods. And they told them, "Now, you should be praying." You're with me? "You should be praying while you're walking around in these neighborhoods to ask the Lord which one of them he wants you to move into." So that night, I've never seen anything like it in my life, but that night, we commissioned about 30 people to move in. And we were in the gym at People's Church, and there were maybe four people standing here and two there, one back there, four over here, six here, and clustered all around the room. And that evening, we commissioned people to move in whose names we didn't even know. I have never been a part of anything like this in my life. You all know who are on missions committees that you never do anything like that. But we did do it that night. And today there are about 58 teams, not only across Canada, but also in other countries where this idea is catching on, where young people, not, as I say, not all younger people, some families, some seniors, have deliberately moved into these difficult neighborhoods where they've got cockroaches and problems with the elevator and all kinds of issues. They are moving in there to pray and to ask God to guide them as to how they should be a blessing to the people in those neighborhoods. So it's a really quite extraordinary thing that is happening in our country. I'm just going to mention this to you because we've been involved in the last 3 or 4 years starting something in Kenya called Vision Ministries Kenya, where they also are doing church planting and helping churches establish churches with their leadership development. And this year, we were involved in helping them build buildings. And when they first told me about this, that we need help with buildings, I thought, "Are you kidding? Buildings? We're not interested in buildings. We're interested in people." In Canada, we don't really have a shortage of church buildings. We have a shortage of people being in those buildings. But when we went there, I realized that, oh my goodness, this is quite different. Here you've got people all crunched together in slums, and everybody has just a little bit of a place. And there's no place to meet or to do anything with more than like 15 people. So for them, having a suitable building is a very big deal. And so this year, we were able to raise money here in Canada to help with two buildings. So this one is going up. They did all the building. And here the roof is on. And to have the roof on is a very big thing for them, to have a steel roof so that the rain is not coming in. They're protected from the sun. And here's another one in a Maasai town that we visited where the building is up and the roof is on. And they're excited about that. But what I wanted to speak to you about this morning is from Psalm 96. It's a psalm that has lots of high notes in it. I don't know whether you notice this, but when there are songs with high notes, people tend to sing louder on the high notes. And so here we've got American Idol judge here who is noticing that somebody has really hit the high notes, and I'm interested in whether you can hit them this morning. We're going to read together, and I want us to read as if we were having our morning devotions the first time through. And then we're going to amp it up after that. So would you read with me, just thoughtfully and kind of quietly? "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of nations. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come to his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. Now, I want to just back this up and start over. And we're going to have a little bit of a reading competition here this morning. I'd like you, this group here, to read the first slide, but you've got to hit the high notes and read it strong and loud. Are you ready for that? Are you up for this? Because they're going to do it maybe better than you. And you're going to do the next slide. You're going to read it. When you hear them, crank it up. Because these words are words of rejoicing. These shouldn't just be words that are spoken slowly and softly and kind of to ourselves. These are strong words. And over here, you're going to read the third slide, and we're just going to keep going. When they're done the third one, you're going to come back here. Are you all ready? Are you sure? All right. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Yes.
Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations.
The marvelous
deeds of all people.
All right. Stronger, stronger. I think you guys could still do better than that. Okay. Give to the Lord. Say among the nations.
The Lord reigns.
Yes.
The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them.
Oh, yes. Then all the trees. Now, the message puts it this way. It says, get out the message, God rules. He put the world on a firm foundation. He treats everyone fair and square. Let's hear it from the sky, with earth joining in, and a huge round of applause from the sea. Let wilderness turn cartwheels. Animals come, dance. Put every tree of the forest in the choir. An extravaganza before God as he comes. As he comes to set everything right on earth, set everything right, treat everyone fair. This is a psalm that is kind of global. It covers the whole world. This is not just a psalm that we sing for ourselves. It's not just a meditation for me and God. This is something that is about the whole world and the glory of God. And so there are three reasons given here to sing to the Lord. It's because he's the creator. The creation itself demands that we ought to sing. This morning when I was driving from Waterloo, I saw some of those bushes and shrubs all covered with that frost. Very beautiful, just kind of waiting for the sun to come out and turn on the lights on those shrubs because they are absolutely spectacular. That he's the deliverer. He's the deliverer from all kinds of trouble and misery and problems. That's one of the reasons why we sing. And because he's the justice giver. It says at the end of the passage that he is going to judge the world with righteous judgment. He's going to get it right. You know that it's very hard for justice to be done in this world in a way that you can say, this was truly justice. And it's not only justice for one little corner of the world, but it's for the world, the nations, and the peoples. I love this psalm because of its global perspective, because it has this wide view of the whole world. Here we are in London this morning, but people this morning are all around the globe, which is spinning, and God is concerned about all of these nations and peoples and languages and cultures, not just for one little corner of it. And people ache to see justice. A number of years ago, I was in a church service, and sometimes you see actually funny things in church. And I was sitting in this service, and it turned out it was a niece of mine. She and her husband were sitting there with two children, a boy and a girl, everything perfect. They were sitting just right here, one, two, three, four, except two were quite a bit younger. And so I was sitting behind them, and suddenly these two kids were, something was going on between them. I'm not sure what they were saying, but suddenly one of them turned and slugged the other one pretty hard right on the shoulder. I mean, this was in church. And it was all done kind of quietly, you know, because people were all sitting close together. And I saw this punch land. And suddenly the other child spins around and pleads to her mother for justice, you know. And the mother said, shh, shh, just be quiet. And I could just see the look on this kid's face. This was the most terrible injustice that had just happened to her, right sitting right there in those pews. I remember in my own house, we had three boys, and when they were small, we sat on, Heather and I sat on one side, and two sat on the other, and one on the end of this little table in the kitchen. And one day, I remember this very clearly, that the youngest one suddenly let out a yelp, and didn't see anything happen. What happened? What's the matter? And he says that his brother pinched him or hit him or kicked him or did something to him. He didn't do anything. And it was, and they were only like 1 meter away from me. And here I am, the all-knowing father. And I couldn't really tell what had happened. I mean, I was right there. And so that to have justice in our world is something that is truly difficult. To have justice that is righteous, that is true, and people ache to see that. This is a picture that, let me see. John Mackey is in this picture. There he is, right there. And Chris or Sean, were you in this picture? I don't see you. Were you at this event? This is the girls' home out in the slum? No, okay. So let me tell you about it. We were in Kenya and Nairobi, and part of our team went to this home. And all of these girls here are girls who grew up in a garbage dump where they had to forage among the garbage just for food. They were orphans, just left there. And when they grew up a little bit, grew up enough to be noticed by the men, these girls got raped and pregnant and had babies there. An incredible injustice. And one of the men from the church that we were working with was rescuing some of these girls with their babies. Let's see, could we have that little piece of video? I'd like you to hear this one of these girls talk.
Those are of our children's. Ask the way you are seeing us here.
You may not understand everything, but try.
We are all street family. We used to stay, to live there in garbage. We are sleeping in sacks. Hospital, they are normally eating us. And no one who will feel mercy on us. But God has power. God has power. God is everything. We trust in God to help us. So we are playing you. And we play for Igor to help you so that you can help us to empower our life so that our children will have good lives. Because as we are terrible in our future. God will help us.
Yes.
May God help you and help you and help you.
I'm sure you didn't understand everything she said. But she said, we were in the garbage. We slept in the garbage. We slept in sawdust. We ate there. And she said, but God has power. And our team members who went there just came back shaken because of what they had seen and heard. And they heard these girls sing. And you know what? It's one thing for us to sing and everything is nice and clean and tidy here this morning. But to hear these girls sing and to be there with their small children and babies and to realize that this is where they came from and they sang, but God has power. God will help us. Help us. Help us. They're looking for deliverance and justice. And that's what this psalm is actually telling us about. The story behind the psalm is that this psalm was sung when David brought back the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, it's from 1 Chronicles 16. This is a part of the center of worship for the Jewish people. This was in the very center of their tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant. There were three things in it. Let me just give you a small quiz this morning. Anybody know what was inside the Ark of the Covenant? Aaron's rod? The tablets? Yes, yes. Okay, good, good. So those were all inside of the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant actually belonged in this most holy place in the tabernacle. So if you came in from the front through the courtyard, there's the altar, the laver, and this was the most holy place where the presence of God was. And it had been absent. It was stolen. Like, can you imagine that for the Jewish people to be involved in a war and the Ark of the Covenant is stolen? This place that represented the very presence of God, stolen and missing for 100 years. When they brought it back, it was a time of tremendous rejoicing. And there was a parade, and they were bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, and people were singing. And this psalm was sung at that time. It was a time of great gladness, not only for Israel, but also for all of the nations. They didn't consider this to be only a matter of gladness and singing and rejoicing for us, but the whole world should be glad because this is happening. The presence of God, and the presence of God, which was to be a light to the world, through that nation of Israel to the nations around them. Why should we, the whole world, sing? Our psalm says, because he made the heavens. There are times when we look around us and the heavens just call us to worship. They call us to be in awe. There are beaches and we look and we say, this is absolutely gorgeous. These blossoms. I took this picture in New Zealand. Just seemed to be like a perfect place. And if you don't get it about why we should sing, maybe just look at this little fellow here. But even these creatures seem to be rejoicing and praising and declaring the goodness of God. How it is that all of these could be in some way different is a little beyond my imagination. They sure look all the same to me. Why should the whole world sing? because he is coming to judge the earth with justice. Not only is he the creator, but this psalm says that he's going to come and he's going to set things right. What is wrong will be made right. And you know that it says in Ecclesiastes that the things that are crooked are more than can be straightened. There just seems to be more wrong than you can imagine or have any hope of getting a hold of. But the wrong, what is wrong will be made right. The crooked will be made straight. We sing this all at Christmas time. You know, the crooked will be made straight and all flesh will see the salvation of God. We come together to sing. We sing this song because he is coming. There's going to be a day when the wrongs will be made right, the crooked will be made straight, evildoers will get what they deserve. People seem to get away with murder. But this psalm says there is coming a day of justice when people will get what they deserve. There's something hopeful about that. There's something that says, there's something deep within us that aches for justice and says, that is so right. People with no chance or opportunity will be lifted up. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Traveling and being in other parts of the world where there's great poverty makes you very aware of what this means, about the first being last. Now, we may not think that we're the first, but there's a whole lot of other people around the world that are a lot worse off than us. A lot worse off. And so, this idea of people with no chance or opportunity. Many years ago when we lived in Colombia, there was a man who was missing these three fingers on his right hand. When he was 15, he lost them in a sugar mill. And so after that, whenever he worked in the sugar farms and in the plantation, they would pay him half of what they paid the others because he's only half a man, because he was missing these three fingers. And I remember him saying to me years ago, he said, you know, so Andy was desperately poor. We were trying to help him out. And he said, and these were his words to me. He said, what is somebody like me, who is a person more or less useless, going to do? Una persona más o menos inútil. Person more or less useless. And I just have never forgotten it. For this man, for that to be his self-assessment, more or less useless. People with no chance or opportunity will be lifted up. There's a reason to sing. And you see that cross lying across all of those problems. When I think of the cross, I think not only of Jesus dying for our sins, but Jesus coming to deal with the problem of evil. The problem of evil is this big, massive problem in the world. And he came to deal with that problem of evil in such a surprising way, so that we have tables like this where we serve communion and we remember his sacrifice and his death for us on that cross, because it was there that he was bringing about justice, that the justice giver came himself to take on himself the pain and the horror of all of the evil in the world in order that people like us could go free. That's why we sing. We sing, yes, because of the creation. We sing because he is the one who makes things right, the one who delivers. And when we come to the end, when we listen to this psalm, like, could we sing this morning? Could we have the worship team come back? And we're going to sing this morning. And but we need to know why we're singing. We're not just here singing because it's time to sing. The worship team is here and we have to sing. No, we're here this morning and we're singing because we are rejoicing in the Creator. We're rejoicing in the fact that the wrongs are made right. This justice giver is going to bring about justice. And if you're here this morning and for some reason you just can't bring yourself to sin, maybe there is something troubling, deeply troubling for you, then we'd like to pray for you. We understand that this could be true. So I'm going to stay here at the front this morning, and if you would like to pray, would you just come and I'll pray with you this morning. But for all of the rest of us at Byron, let's sing and know why we're singing. So would you stand, please, and we're going to have this last song.
The cross before me, the world behind, no turning back, raise the banner high. It's not for me, it's all for you. Let the heavens shake and split the sky, let the people clap their hands and cry. It's not for us, it's all for you. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Our hearts unfold before your throne, the only place for those who know. It's not for us, it's all for you. Send your holy fire on this offering. Let our worship burn for the world to see. It's not for us, it's all for you. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. The earth is shaking, the mountains shouting, it's all for you. The waves are crashing, the sun is raging, it's all for you. The universe spinning and singing, it's all for you. Your children dancing, 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 it's all for you. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us.
Amen. So, you know what you have to do? Go out there and sing his praises as you meet people this week, as you are involved in your everyday life. You are his voice in this world. Go out and have a great week. And as Gord said, Gord will be here if you don't feel like you can sing right now. We're willing to pray for you. So please take part, and we'll now have a time of fellowship. You're dismissed.